We'll be shifting our focus just a bit now. We've been talking about the Modoc War of the early 1870s, which took place in and around the lava beds near Tule Lake, California. We'll focus more sharply on the land itself with the help of our next guest. Lee Jullera is a reporter at the Herald News in Klamath Falls and the author of Lava Beds National Monument. It's from Arcadia Publishing's Images of America series, so you know it's got lots of pictures. Lee Jullera, thanks for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange. I understand your house actually has a connection to the lava beds and one of the key figures.
Well, that was a story that I'm always surprised at. I had heard about this eccentric little old man who had lived at the house before me, I guess 10 years before I moved in, and I didn't know his name or really any information about him, and was at Lava Beds one night in their old library. Basically, it was just boxes of books and mimeographed sheets of paper, and was digging through, and it was after midnight, and I was tired and getting kind of cranky and wanted to be done. And I was turning the page, and it said, "From the desk of J.D. Howard." And as I turned the page and was like, wait a second, and flipped back and realized that address was my address. And so the funny little man that I'd heard about all these years was J.D. Howard. And that led me to do some research on him, just about who he was, and really quite a fascinating individual.
The lava beds seem like such a place rich in history and rich in so much more. I mean, they're just a fascinating place. I mean, for the folks who'd never seen them, can you give sort of an overall description of how rugged they are and how broad the area is?
It's it's been fascinating watching. When I first moved here, they thought they had almost 200 caves, and because of GPS and other surveillance, now they're aware of more than 700 caves. And it spreads out over, interestingly, looking at the lava beds brochure, it doesn't say the square footage, but it's at the base of the Medicine Lake Highlands. And the lava is extremely difficult to travel on. It's one of those, the caves are remarkable. Some are relatively easy access. Other ones are very challenging, where you have to have a lot of technical spelunking skills. And the surface area is pretty much the same way. It has a lot of the very difficult to travel the geology with the lava there, the Pahoehoe and the A'a. And the A'a comes from, it's a Hawaiian term, and it comes from the expression of walking on lava with bare feet. Kind of the sound that you make as you go, ah!
Ah, yeah, because it's that hard on the feet. So it's a rugged, rugged place. But how well laid out now are some of the pathways within the lava beds now that it's a national monument? Have they made lots of places where it's pretty easy for folks to walk on a day trip?
Yes, there's some real nice outside trails that go to some pictographs, which are the old native paintings that are there. And they have anything you want based on difficulty. There's some that go to Symbol Bridge, which is probably a nice trail for someone beginning. It's, shows it as 8/10 of a mile to get there, and it's on a nicely developed trail, so you're not going to get lost or turned around. And as I say, it just has some real nice views of the pictographs. And that's similar with the caves, too. Some are very easy access, and anyone can go into there. One of the attractions for me has always been that only one cave is lighted. The others, you take your own lights, and you can check those out for free at the park headquarters. But some are where you can walk in and be standing up as tall as you want to be, and then eventually they'll get into squeeze holes, and in some cases they'll continue on. Other times, if you really want to see it, you're going to be getting down and a little bit dirty, just because it's narrow passages, and it's nice to have knee pads, good to have a bump helmet, just because it's you're really out there, you're really doing it. It's designed for people who want to do it themselves.
Right. When you smack your head against the roof of a cave, you definitely want to have something between you, between your head and the rock. Lee Jularaz, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, the author of the new book on Lava Beds National Monument from Arcadia Publishing. You can join us at 800-838-3760 or jx@jeffnet.org. You mentioned the pictographs. So did people actually live in the lava beds? Did they visit the lava beds? And how old are some of these pictographs?
There's quite a bit of debate. Some people believe that the pictographs are thousands of years old, and others say it's probably less than 700 because of the, whether or not the materials that were used to make the pictographs can last a certain amount of time. So I know in doing some research for the book, some sources said 700, and then some of the sources were saying several thousand years. That's part of the fascination. Every time you bring up something, there's a lot of debate on different sides.
We focused on the Modoc War of the 1870s in the previous segment here on the program, and there is a chapter in the book that deals just with the Modoc War. Do you think the lava beds would be a lot less well-known if the war hadn't taken place there?
It would be much less well-known. That's part of the interesting thing about the park is it's a multi use park in the sense that there's the Modoc War history, and then to go through Captain Jack's stronghold and some of the other areas helps to make the war real and understandable. And then they have the caves, and those are fascinating by themselves, but the Modoc War gives it a historical context where people can go especially the walk through Captain Jack's stronghold. When you see visually just what it looks like and where the people were able to, you can understand why the army had such a miserable time trying to invade it.
We talked about some of the people who helped chronicle the Modoc War, both as reporters and as photographers. And I was surprised to see in your book that Edward Muybridge was out there. He was a fairly big name at that time, wasn't he?
He was. He's a person who's sometimes credited with motion pictures, starting those. And the war gained international attention. And again, doing the research and over the years, the papers in London and elsewhere were following what was going on with the Modoc War. It was something of just rapt fascination, and the correspondents were there, and they were hustling and turning out the copy. Obviously, we didn't have telephones to be able to do things easily, so you know, it was kind of the mad sprint back to the different locations where they could get the information out.
For the folks that don't know the name, Edward Muybridge is the guy who photographed stop-motion photography of people and horses, for example, and was able to figure out things like, yes, all four horses' hooves do leave the ground. So he had some really interesting photography techniques that he pioneered in his day. So having him come out and photograph the lava beds was quite a big deal. Let's talk about the lava beds becoming a more formally recognized place. And so this brings us back to Judd Howard, who lived in your house before you did. What did he do within and for the lava beds?
He was a person who had an insatiable curiosity. And he was a millwright in Klamath Falls, but he started going down to lava beds, and he never drove a car, so he would either catch rides with people and friends, and sometimes I've heard stories that he actually walked there, but he would go into the caves and just had this great curiosity and would find them and then name them, and he usually used a white paint, and you can still see the white paint on some of the cave entrances. And he became an advocate for the area to be protected in some manner. And he wrote letters. There's just copious amounts of letters that he sent to politicians and tried to get different people interested in the lava beds to turn it into a place of curiosity.
And he walked to the lava beds? How far is that from Klamath Falls?
Well, it's about 35 miles. And part of the time he was living in Merrill, so he was closer. And then he would get rides with folks and take them to different locations in the lava beds. He helped on the development of there actually were some resorts there where there was a Bear Paw Resort, and the people used to, there were cabins, and they would go into some of the caves and go ice skating. And some of the caves were used during the Prohibition era where they had stills in the caves.
Ice caves, that's an interesting concept. Tell us about those.
Well, the ice caves, and I would really encourage people in the wintertime, and hopefully we'll have a winter this year, but there's one of the most spectacular ice caves, Crystal Ice Cave, is one that's open only for a limited amount of people on Saturdays during the wintertime. And you do have to go sliding down a little area that has a rope to help you and kind of do a wiggle through some narrow stretches. And then as you get down to the lower areas, I've been in it several times, and the ice flows depending on how cold the winter is and how wet the winter is, or just these towers of ice that are there. There are some other ice caves in the park. The problem has been with the warming going on. The ice is almost gone in many of the caves. In some cases where they were caves you could go into and see the ice and go around, the ice is pretty much gone.
The ice was there year-round, though, huh?
Yes, they're down a little bit lower, and the temperatures will stay. It's kind of like getting an inversion where it holds in the temperatures. But that's one reason they limit Crystal Ice Cave to only a certain amount of visitors during the winter, is because if you have too many folks in there with all the oxygen, then it helps speed up the melting process.
Oh, sure, yeah, and breathing the hot breath and all that stuff. Yeah. We have an email here from Scott, no town given. He says, thank you for these programs. I don't think many people in this area, especially newcomers, fully appreciate this incredible place just over the mountain with incomparable geology, scenery, forests, desert, wetlands, caves, lava beds, Native American prehistory and history, birds, wildlife, and sadly, one of our own concentration camps from World War II, the reference to the Tule Lake internment camp. How close is that to the lava beds?
It's only the actual camp itself is probably 15 miles away or so. It's just located right off of Highway 139 when it gets down there. There isn't too much to see at the camp. Before President Bush left office, he used the Antiquities Act to create World War II Valor in the Pacific National Monument, and Tule Lake managed to get in under that qualification. But they've had very little money to develop. They're in a process right now where they're trying to see what people want and what they should do first. Part of it is talking with as many of the folks who lived in the camp as possible before their stories get lost.
Now, for the creation of the National Monument for the lava beds, and that's usually done by a presidential order, which president declared the lava beds a national monument?
Let's see, I believe it was Calvin Coolidge.
Okay, but so for a while then, so 80, 90 years then.
I'm trying to remember the date it was created, but around 1933, something like that.
All right, so that would have been FDR for sure. So, how well attended are the lava beds year in, year out, Lee?
It's kind of sporadic. Summertime, they get the most visitation, and Crater Lake will get 500,000 plus visitors, and lava beds will get maybe 50 to 70,000, depending on the year and the interest. So it's a nice place to go, partly because you're not going to bump into a lot of people. It used to be the joke was when people at Crater Lake had their days off, they would go to lava beds because there was so much down there to see and they didn't have to be bumping into people.
I can't, the book is just packed with photographs. I can't imagine there was any shortage of them to pick from to make this book.
Yes, it was a challenge just trying to thin things down.
All right, the book is called Lava Beds National Monument, part of the Images of America series From Arcadia Publishing, Lee Jewelera from the Klamath Falls Herald and News, its author. Thanks for joining us today on The Exchange.
Great. Thanks for having me.
All right.